I heard something today, you know, I must say, I've never heard so many Shabbos HaGadolosh as this year. You can all hear them nowadays. It's quite, can you hear all the Shabbos HaGadolosh? I heard something very interesting today from Moshe Weiss. Moshe Weiss says that he's the Rav who's in charge of Shaarei Tzedek Hospital in Yerushalayim. So he said that he decided last week to close in line with the guidelines and the directions of the Ministry of Health. He decided last week to shut down the shul in Shaarei Tzedek Hospital. I don't know if you remember Shaarei Tzedek Hospital. It's quite a big shul, very nice shul, very, very nice shul, which is always, it's always minyanim and everything, whether for the cholim or whether for visitors. It gets quite, so he said last week he decided to shut down the shul because of the potential spread of the virus. So Shadai said the next day he got a phone call from the CEO of the hospital, and he said he got a request. So he got a request from one of the nurses. One of the nurses went up to the CEO, knocked on the door, and said, "Listen, it's one thing to shut down the shul. It's one thing, it's bad enough. But please, if it's possible, at least don't switch the light off. It's too depressing. It's too depressing to have a shul which is both quiet and pitch dark. At least, keep the light on in the shul of Shaarei Tzedek Hospital." So he was very, very touched. The Moshe Weiss said, totally kept the light on in Shaarei Tzedek Hospital, because it's one thing to have it shut down, but it's quite another if it's completely pitch dark. So they kept it on. And he said he was so moved by that he actually decided himself that his own shul, which is in Ramot, Moshe Weiss got a big shul in Ramot, that he decided when they shut down his shul, he decided that actually his shul should be closed, but at least the light should be on. It feels a bit different if the light is on. So he switched the light on. But he said, now he's changed his mind a little bit. He's changed his mind. And he said in the Shabbos HaGadolosh, which I heard today, he said that in actual fact, he said this is all, it's not much point. It's got very little meaning if the shul is empty, but the light is on. He said that, emotionally maybe, but he said in reality we have to understand that what's really happening is that the switch of places, the shuls are empty, shuls are locked up, but we have to understand that there is now a transformation taking place, that all the shuls are now moving to our own houses. He said that the shuls, the conventional shuls, yes, they are locked, they are shut down and they are closed and they are perhaps even dark, but there's a transformation taking place. It's now moved to our own houses. The shuls now are our own houses. And he said, so it doesn't really help to keep the lights on in the shuls, because what really has to happen is for us to understand that the shuls are now in our house, and it's got that kedusha, and that that spirituality that a shul normally has now been transferred to our own house. I thought that's a very nice vort. Very nice vort. I also heard something else today which made a tremendous roshim on me. I thought that's such an important vort. Let me share that with you before we move on. I heard the Rosh Yeshiva of Mir speaking. Again, nowadays, I've never heard so many Shabbos HaGadol doshes in my life as this year. You can never hear these doshes that have been pre-recorded. So I have this, the Rosh Yeshiva of Mir, Blaise Yudel Finkel, he says something unbelievable. He says he heard so many people saying that the world is upside down, the world is crazy, and it's not normal what's going on, and it's absolutely good. He said, it's true. There's nothing that hasn't been affected by this virus. Nothing internationally, globally, there's nothing that is the same. Everything has been somehow impacted by this virus. And he said, there's one thing. He said it's crazy, everything is abnormal. But he said, there's one thing which is actually a lot better now. And he says that until last week or 2 weeks ago, we had a certain sense of security. We had confidence in the world of medicine, which now we have lost a lot of trust in them. We certainly had a lot of trust in the economy, both globally and personally. We felt a certain sense of security. We felt genuinely quite safe and sound where we were. He says, now over the last 2 weeks, everything's been shuckled, everything's been shattered, and in reality, we all now feel it absolutely depends on the Ribbono Shel Olam. We feel much more that we really need that Kadosh Baruch Hu. We have that sense of dependence, that sense sense of realization that really koichi v'yotzi miyodi is nothing, and all really is in the hands of Hashem. He said the world is crazy, the world is upside down, but that little sense now is a lot better than it was 2 weeks ago. He says once everything is shattered and everything is shuckledig and everything is shaky, that little subtle sense of connection to Hashem is much more solid now. It's much better like that. And I thought that's an interesting perception, very interesting perception. That's what Finkel said in his Shabbos HaGodol Dosha that I was reading to you earlier. Right, let us move on. We spoke yesterday about two topics. We spoke about somebody who doesn't have wine, and he failed to get wine for the Seder. How does he deal with it? That was Siman Tov Pei Gimel. Then we discussed Siman Tov Pei Dalet, which went to the discussion into the question of what happens if somebody wishes to do a seder in a few houses. Very interesting topic, because that touched on the sugya of Birkas HaNenin and Birkas HaMitzvahs, and we discussed that this is an exceptional case. That whilst normally you cannot make any Birkas HaNenin, any fruit brachas, you can't normally do that for others, but in this instance you actually can, because this is all part of a mitzvah. Good, so that's what we discussed yesterday, and there's an exception, therefore you can go to other people's houses, make a mozi for them, make Baruch Pi HaGofen for them, make all the brachas for them, although you're not actually consuming and enjoying it, because they're all in the world of Birkas HaMitzvahs. By Birkas HaMitzvahs, you know there's a rule of arvus, of connection to one another, although you actually don't benefit from it, since you're connected from the point of view of the mitzvah, therefore it actually works. Okay, that's what we discussed yesterday. I heard a shayla today, which is interesting. I think it's very wrong, but I want to ask you, before we move on, Siman Tov Pei Hei, we spoke about Leil Shimurim. You remember a couple of nights ago, we spoke about Leil Shimurim. Leil Shimurim means that it's a garden night. Therefore, there is halachas in terms of Shema. We are not so scared of potential mazikim, spiritual mazikim. Hashem guards us. We also spoke about Shvoi Chamoscha. That's the main reason why we're opening the doors by Shvoi Chamoscha. We don't only open doors for the NHS to thank them, but we also open doors to because we're not worried of the of any potential danger. So we open doors Shvoi Chamoscha, and that's what we learned, because it is Leil Shimurim. Now, somebody therefore asked, what's that? Do we therefore, we know that there is a halacha that we've got to be very careful this year. We've got to be very, very careful about the spread of the virus and social distancing. And we've got to, we really do need to be very careful. And we have to follow the advice given by the world of medicine, by the scientists, because we've got to keep distance, and that really makes a huge difference. But somebody asked, well, if it is a Leil Shimurim, so perhaps you can be late. A lot of people are stuck out there, and there's a lot of people that normally would would join other families for Seder. You know, if you've got your own wife and family and kids and mishpacha, you know, Seder is pretty much the same this year than others. But what about the grandparents? What about grandparents, what about families that all the children are out and gone? They want to have others around them for Seder. Whether they go somewhere or they host people, you don't want to be Seder on your own. You don't want to be Seder on your own. It's there's people out there that haven't been on their own for since they ever remember. And suddenly this year they have got that. All the plans that they tried to, it's all not working out. You can't. So perhaps the question was that if it's a Leil Shimurim, then perhaps you can be lenient and assume that Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to guard us, going to look after us, and consequently, you don't have to stick to the guidelines, and perhaps be a bit more lenient with the social distancing and have a Seder together with other Yidden. What are your thoughts on that, gentlemen? What do you think about that? Any thoughts on that? Anybody? Yeah, very good. So the MSA is that this is absolute. You're 100% right, Jonathan. 100% right, because this is it is wrong to make such a statement, because the Gemara says that by Shchia Chezeka, when there's a common danger, and not a bizarre uncommon danger. When it's a common danger, then you cannot rely on Leil Shimurim. You can't. There is no head to that in such a case. So surely we can. This is definitely very common. It is a danger. The virus is in danger, directly or indirectly, but it is a danger. It certainly goes in the category of in the world of pikuach nefesh, and therefore you cannot be lenient under any circumstances, even Leil Aseid, which is Leil Shimurim. So you're quite right. Tisvah would be halachically incorrect, and a person has to stick to the guidelines. Also this year. So it's manishtanu alayla azeh. The answer is no. This night is no different than all the other nights, and one has to stick to the social distancing just like any other nights this year. Unfortunately, right? Okay, we are ready for Simon Tov Peihei. Yeah. I agree. Absolutely, I agree with that as well. I agree, although I don't know what the laws are with regards to religious... I suppose you're right. Yeah, sure. Yeah, it would be a Chilal Hashem as well. Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, you non-Jews would see that all these didn't get together. Yeah, I agree with you. That would be another element as well, that we have to make sure not to have a Chilal Hashem. Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely, I agree. Yeah. Okay, Siman Tov Pei Hei. We are bottom of page 182. And we're going to be learning tonight a different topic altogether, which is this Shaila. If somebody wishes to make a Shvua, he makes an oath, a Shvua, that he doesn't want to eat matzah. We know there's two categories, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch is going to discuss. There's two categories of shvur. One category of shvur is something which is called a shvur, which is a shvur koilel. What that means is that when I'm making a shvur, I will not benefit from something. So now, if that thing that I am forbidding on myself includes things which generally I am allowed to do, but it also includes it includes mitzvahs, and I say, let me talk about this scenario, because that's more similar to what we're going to be learning. If I say, I will not benefit from a certain thing, I'm not going to enjoy a certain thing, that is a shvua that I'm making. And this includes both actions which normally I am allowed to do, and I'm specifically forbidding it because of this shvua that I'm making, but this also includes mitzvahs, so that is considered koilel. Koil means it includes heta and issa, includes everything. Such an shvua is chal, such a shvua works. If I'm not being specific, but I'm saying a vague statement, and I'm including both things which are permitted generally, and things which are, so that's an issa, a shvua koilel, and such a shvua will work. There is another shvur, which is the most specific shvur. If I'm specifically saying something and I'm forbidding this particular action on myself, which generally is something which I'm meant to do, so I'm forbidding something specific, and that specific action which I'm qualifying and addressing and specifying is something which I am meant to do, so there's a clear contradiction between my shvua and the mitzvah which I'm meant to do, because the shvua is not including anything else, then that shvua is a shvua which doesn't work. Because who am I to make a shvua against something which Hashem has said I must actually do? So that kind of shvua is a shvua which is shvua shov. Who am I to make an oath? I will not do X, Y, and Z, if this X, Y, and Z is something specifically, something which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has asked me to do. Therefore, having understood such this distinction and this difference, let us look at Siman Tov Peihei. Omar Shvua Shelo Yoichal Matzah Stam. If a person makes a Shvua and an oath, and he makes a statement which is a pretty vague statement, and he says, Shvua, I'm making an oath, a Shvua, Shelo Yoichal Matzah, I will not eat Matzah. It means Chanukah time, it means Purim time, it means during Elul, it means during the whole year, but it also, admittedly, includes also Pesach. So, the halacha is, also lechol matzah b'leil ha-Pesach. He will be also to eat matzah b'leil ha-Pesach. Why? Because the shvur which I made is chal. The shvur works. The shvur is a valid shvur. Because I didn't just forbid myself to eat matzah on Leil Pesach. No. My shvur that I said included the whole year round. I said, I'm not going to eat any matzah. So, it also includes Pesach. And therefore, my shvur is chal. But, consequently, it means that I cannot eat matzah on Leil Pesach because I've forbidden on myself. The shvur works. And therefore, I cannot eat, because of my shvur, I cannot eat matzah on Leil Pesach. However, Omar, but if he said a different type of shvur, he said shvur shelo yechal matzah b'leil ha-Pesach, a very bizarre individual, and this gentleman said, I'm okay to eat matzah the whole year round, but on Pesach, I'm making a shvur, I shall not eat matzahs on Leil Pesach. That is the shvur that he has said. Now, such a shvur is a waste, it doesn't work. You cannot make a shvur against the Ribbono Shel Olam. A shvur which you make, which goes head-on collision against Hashem's command and instruction, that doesn't work. So on the one hand, the shvur doesn't work, and you can happily eat matzah on Leil HaSeder, but on the other hand, you have to know that the shvur that you made was a wasted shvur, and we know there's an issa d'oraisa to make a shvur which doesn't work, and therefore he's getting malchus. He gets punishment of the lashes of malchus because he made the shvuas shov, a shvur in vain. So shvur shalai eichal matzah b'leil Pesach, but if he said, I'm making a shvur that I will not eat matzah on Seder night, loike, he gets lashes, ve'eichal matzah, but he does eat matzah b'leil Pesach on Leil HaSeder, because the shvur wasn't chal, the shvur didn't work. Let's see what the Mishnah Berurah says, explain this in Seif Katan Aleph, 4 lines from the bottom of the page 182. Whether he said before Pesach, whether he said it before Pesach or on Pesach itself, makes no difference. Since he didn't say in his shvur to mishtabe, matzah's mitzvah, he didn't specify matzah's mitzvah. He didn't. Ella, rather, koileil b'shvosoi, he included in his shvur kol matzah, any potential matzahs, v'lavd afke matzah, and not necessarily matzah shaleil azu, of this particular night, he is including all the matzahs throughout all year. Chayle shvosoi, his shvur is chal, his shvur works. The shvur chal bekoilel dvorim. The shvur is chal. It works bekoilel when you're including dvorim amutorim, permitted actions, im with dvorim asurim, with forbidden actions, actions which are forbidden on yourself. Hashem al taisa shvur koilel works, and therefore you may not eat matzah on Leil Pesach in this, if you worded the shvur in such a way. Mikol Mokum Kosva Poiskim, of course the Poiskim, however, agreed. The mitzvah lehatir shvur asoi, it is still a mitzvah to cancel and nullify this oath, kidei in order, shiuchal ekaim mitzvah seder achilas Pesach. Obviously, if it's possible, he should cancel his shvur and nullify the shvur in order that he can actually fulfill the mitzvah of achilas matzah on Leil HaSeder. But failing to do so, the shvur is going to work and he can't eat matzah on Leil Pesach. However, if he said, much more specific, he said, I'm forbidding myself to eat matzah on Leil HaSeder only. So, b'Leil Pesach, Sivkot and Beisim Mishtibur, Kim Doma, b'Leil Pesach, since he specified Leil Pesach, Mistam Kavanos HaMatzah Mitzvah B'lchot, he will only refer to matzah's mitzvah, and therefore, Loike, he gets lashes, Mishum Shvah Shav, because he did make a shvur in vain. The ein shvur chala, and a shvur is not chal, doesn't work on dva mitzvah, on a mitzvah purpose, if it's specifically head-on collision against the mitzvah. Now I'm skipping one line on the next page. Mishnah Berurah. Im amar shvur shlo yichal morish shel mitzvah. What happens if he says, I'm making a shvur, I'm not eating morish? What happens then?
Then the halacha is also bechilas mor is not allowed to eat more. To mor bizman hazeh derabon, because mor is merely mitrabonon. It's only rabbinical mitzvah. Ushvu chayil a mitzvah derabon, and a shvu, an oath, works if it works against the mitzvah. But if you made the shvu on the derabonon, that will be chal. V'adin be'omar shelo ishteh b'koisos. Similarly, also if you made the shvu, I'm not going to eat dalet koisos. Mikol mokum koifinos. Nevertheless, we force him. Shish lashvosu. We force him. We ask him. We urge him. We urge him to cancel his shavua. But if he doesn't cancel the shavua, then his shvu is chal. And he may not drink the dalet koisos or moe if that's the shvu that he made. Okay. Right. This is the concept of shvu with regards to matzahs. Okay. We're ready for Simon Tov Peivov. Now, Simon Tov Peivov is very misleading because it looks like a very short and innocent little sieve. He looks really innocent. You know, just a few words. But there is a enormous sugi behind it, machloikis behind it. Perhaps one could even say it's the, one of the largest discussions, conversations, machloikis in the whole Shulchan Aruch Chaim, because it's the controversy and the discussion with regards to the shiurim, the measurements, which we know take such a very essential, prominent part in halacha. We know everything really has got ramifications about the shiurim. One of the prime places where it's relevant to us is with regards to the shiurim on Leila Seida. How much is the kezais of matzah? How much is the kezais? How much is the dalet koisos, the revis, which we spoke about already? How much is? But the truth is, its ramifications are everywhere. Just the hilchos tchumim. How much are the 2,000 amos, the tfochim of them, the gimel tfochim that we find everywhere, such as in sukkah. The other areas of this, countless areas of halachas, it's everywhere. So, but it's very innocent because it's just a few words over here, but there's a world behind it. I saw that I saw that Reb Shlomo Zalman quoted his Rebbe. Reb Shlomo Zalman was a Talmid of Reb David Baran. His main Rebbe was Reb David Baran. Reb David Baran was a Yerushalmi, a real Yerushalmi, gone, an outstanding Torah authority. Reb David Baran, and there was many psokim, interesting, some of them quite controversial, halachic psokim from Reb David Baran, but Reb Shlomo Zalman considered himself a very close Talmid, a very close pupil of Reb David Baran. And Reb David Baran was Reb Shlomo Zalman said that he never really delved into the sugya of the shurim so much, which I don't know if that's to be taken literally, because he had many psakim in that area of halacha too. But he said he was not such an expert when it comes to the shurim. He also, interestingly, he said it's another very big pasha, it does not a big boki, and that's the zmanim, the times. When it comes to shkia, when it comes to nacht, when it comes to alois, when it comes to nets, there's so many ways of calculating it. He says, I'm not a real expert in that, which we can take that with a pinch of salt, because he was a very great expert. But he said those two areas of halacha, he doesn't like to paskin so much. But he did quote Reb David Baran. When Reb David Baran was asked once by one of the leading rabbonim in his days, Reb David Baran was asked, you know, there's this very great machlokes of Chazanish about what is the shiur of the kezais. What is the opinion of the opinion of Chazanish and Reb Chaim Noor, and then in between there is other opinions of Moshe Feinstein, who is pretty much in between Reb Chaim Oizer. There's so many opinions about how the shiurim of the kezaisim, and he wanted to delve into it, ask him in question. He said, what is exactly the kezais? Does Reb David Baran go with the Chazanish and Reb Chaim Noor? The tzlach, how do you go? Reb David Baran looked at him and he says, do you want to know the shiur of the kezais? Well, go to your house and take out an olive from your fridge or from your wherever, and look at the shear of an olive. That's the kezais. That's the kezais. That's an olive. That's how much the kezais is. He says, I don't understand what you're talking about. What's the big controversy? So Reb David Baran said, now, whilst of course Reb David just kind of wanted to de-escalate the question, de-escalate the question, but there's a element of truth in it as well, of course, that one should realize that one should just stick to a psak and understand really, stick to a psak and be consistent about it. So we're going to go a little bit in the Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah, perhaps. You can see the Mishnah is quite short over here, but we have to appreciate at least that there is an enormous amount of Torah behind it to understand what the machloek is. There's two main machloekas of Akazais, and we will Hashem look into it a little bit, perhaps not tonight, but we will look into it. I'm just going to start it off. It's already just start off just to get a bit of a beginning in it, but we'll discuss it in greater detail in Mitzvah Shem on Sunday. So Simon Tov Pevov Boy Seif Echot. I think it's so innocent. I find it so fun. It's such an innocent little Seif, but it's so much behind it. Shir Kizayis. The Shir Kizayis Yesh Oymim Dav Chatzi Beitzah. The Shir of a Kizayis of an olive is Chatzi Beitzah, is a half of an egg. That itself already is a big machlokes, because really it's a machlokes of showing him if a kezayis an olive is a half of an egg or is a third of an egg. What would you say nowadays, just looking at the practical physical egg and olive, would you understand better the opinion of olive being half an egg or a third of an egg? What would you say if you just look at contemporary sizes? What would you say? I also totally agree. As I definitely agree, the pastor says, as a part, the Shulchan Aruch over here, that itself is already very interesting. Shulchan Aruch says, Shirk is as Yesh Oim Davikichatzi Beitza. It's a very big machlokes. He's just going with one opinion, and he says, an olive is a half an egg. Now, he's completely ignoring the fact that many Rishonim, the Rambam, there's many Rishonim hold that it's a third of an egg, and of course the ramifications to Nafkamina Locha are enormous. But it is interesting that it does not ignore it completely, because Shulchan Aruch has this very interesting wording of Yesh Oimim. Some say that Kizayis is a half an egg. Some say, and what do the others say? What do the others say? He's remaining silent. Mishnebu is going to help us out with that, Beis Hashem. But perhaps that's just the beginning to appreciate the sugi behind it. Okay, gentlemen, what we learned this evening is that we learned, first we discussed that Leil Shimurim does not apply to coronavirus. Leil Shimurim is something which is not from Azikim, which are unfortunately common. And the Shriach Ezekiel, therefore, the colors of Leil when we talk about Leil Shimurim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guarding us, we still got to be careful with the guidelines this year, unfortunately. We spoke about Shavuos, and we had this very historic understanding, a very important understanding. There's two types of Shavuos. One is a Shavuot Kodel, which means that what you are stating and the Shavuot that you're making includes both things which are permitted and things which are not really meant to negate, you know. And if a person therefore says, I'm not going to eat matzah all year round, that shvuah is chal. That shvuah works. Consequently, I may not eat matzah on Leil HaSeder because my shvuah works and I forbade on myself the eating of matzah. So that's a shvuah kodel that works. You're not allowed to eat matzah if you made that kind of shvuah. However, the Mishnah Berurah does tell us that a person should make sure to be mevatel and nullify that shvuah. It doesn't sound like a particularly wise shvuah to make, and you should rather nullify it in order you should be able to make kind the mitzvah of achilas matzah on Leil Pesach. The other scenario is the shvuah of a specific shvuah. If you are just forbidding yourself specifically and directly the eating of matzah on Leil HaSeder. Now, that kind of shvuah doesn't work. You cannot forbid on yourself something which the Torah says you must do. If the Torah is a head-on collision with your shvuah, then your shvuah is not chal. So on the one hand, the shvuah is not chal. You can eat matzah happily in health and besimcha. You can eat your kezesim of matzah. But at the same time, before that, you're going to get some lashes because the shvuah is a shvuah shav. And an issur Torah of shvuah shav makes it that you are obligated. You're actually getting Malkus Aboim, you're getting the 39 lashes, and that is because you made a Shavuah Shav, because you head on collision between your statement, your Shavuah, and the Mitzvah, which is directly affecting each other. Right, okay, so this is the lochas that we touched on this evening. We also spoke about the rabbonon. If you're making a shvur against the rabbonon, that shvur will you can still eat. That shvur is not going to work, and you can still eat your moroir and your abakosis if that was the shvur that you made. Good, gentlemen. I wish you all a very good evening, and I wish you a healthy and a good Shabbos, and we should all be zoicha to. It is very bizarre everything, but we should strengthen ourselves and keep on working ourselves and steig in these circumstances. We'll be zoicha to a very good Shabbos, healthy with our families, and we should continue looking after each other. And the distance is only a physical distance because we're living through this together. And we should all have tremendous atzlocha and yeshuas and nechamas to all. Yeah, good Shabbos to all.